Today I'm going to share a topic, Desiring God, from Psalm 63. Psalm 63 is composed by David, King David, when he fled his son Absalom into the wilderness of Judah. When he was in the wilderness, his life was totally messed up. Imagine you are one of the David's followers. You were also in the wilderness. How do you feel? Hunger? Tired? Fearful? Resentment? Maybe disappointment? Regretful? Or a glimmer of hope for the future? We're all in the wilderness situation. Our family, our study, and our work, maybe immigration, maybe our faith journey. Wilderness situation is a place or environment where our life is tested and tried for failure or for the transformation. We all face life wilderness situation. How do we respond? You may ask, what is our situation to do with desiring God? So today, I'm going to look at the Psalm 63 to answer that question. I'm going to look at from three aspects. One, why desiring God? Why desire God? Two, how desire God? How to desire God? Three, the results of desiring of God. Number one, why do we desire God? Why do we desire God? David's wilderness psalm begins with soul cry, a soul crying. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Verse 1, the key word in this crying, in this heart, soul crying, is God. Oh God, you are my God. Out of gate, David cried to God. In the Chinese and English translation, the divine name God is only one word, God, Shen. But in the original text, those two God's names are different. The first one is Elohim. It is referring to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The second God's name is El, refers to the Almighty God. In Genesis 17:1, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. In the Bible, God has many names, and King David knew that. And at this juncture of his life, he chose these two particular names, Elohim and El, to call to desire him. Why? First of all, because Elohim, God, is a creator. He creates everything, heavens and earth, and everything in it. He is the mighty creator. He creates our human lives. He renews our human lives. In David's Psalm 51, he cries out like this, "Create in me a new heart, pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Create in me a pure heart, O God. That God is Elohim, the God of Creator, our life giver. King David cried out to this God for a new heart, for a new heart. In addition to a new heart and new life, David also need trust. King David needed a new life, a new heart, badly, urgently, because his life is totally messed up. He needs a new start, restart. That's why he cries out to a God who can create his heart, give him a new life, new heart, new soul. In addition to that, David also needs trust. At this point of his life, David totally lost trust with God, with his families, with his people. He's totally messed up. He needs trust. He needs trust. So when he calls out to this covenant God, he acknowledges he needs trust. He needs trust this God. In Genesis chapter 12, 15, 17, 22, God made a covenant with Abraham. And through this covenant, God will have an ongoing, faithful, eternal relationship with Abraham's descendants. There are two kinds of descendants of Abraham. One is by birth, the nation of Israel. The second group is by faith, those of us who put our faith, trust in the Savior Jesus Christ. Whether Jewish or others, we all put our trust and our faith in the faithful God. We all trust in the same God who made, cut the covenant with Abraham. When David prayed to God for a new heart, a pure heart, he has to trust in that God can answer his prayer, can indeed give him a new heart, a new soul. Why? Because he is a covenantal God. He is trustable. He is dependable. So why do we need to desire God? Because for one, God is our creator. He created you and me. He created all human beings. He can recreate our life. He can give us a new heart, new soul, new mind, new spirit. That's why we need to desire him. We cannot create a new life for ourselves. We need to desire him in order to have a new life, new heart. Second, we need trust. This world is so broken. There is no trust between families, between men and women, between government, between countries, between nations, between people. We need trust. We need to trust because he is a covenantal God. He is a covenant maker. He can be dependable. He can be trustable. We need such trust. People do not believe in God because they have a hard time. to believe anyone except themselves, or maybe even not themselves. When we look at our wilderness situation, the wilderness situation is to break down our self-trust, our self-dependency, and our self-satisfaction, and in turn, to trust a creator and a covenant maker. That's the purpose of wilderness situation. Once we make that decision, we'll turn our trust into our Creator and the Covenant Maker, our wilderness situation will turn around 180 degrees. That's the reason we need to desire God, because He is our Creator and He is the Covenant Maker. Now we look at the second question. How do we desire God? How do we desire such Creator and the Covenant Maker? There is a key word in Psalm 63 that is soul. Soul occurred three times, in verse 1, in verse 5, in verse 8. In verse 1, David's soul desires for God in the current dreadful situation. His soul desires for God. His soul cries out, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water." In verse 5, David's soul was satisfied with God. "My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods." In verse 8, David made a determination. He cries out to God, "My soul clings to you. My soul clings to you." Do you see that pattern? Do you see the pattern of his soul? Desiring God, satisfied with God, and following God. "My soul clings to you." How to desire God? The answer is with the soul, with our soul. The soul is the source of our desire, the source of emotions and thoughts, faith and doubts, hope and dooms. The soul can be filled. The soul can be empty. The soul can be satisfied, and the soul can be disappointing. The soul is the essence of our life, our being. When David was in his wilderness, his soul is so dreadful and empty. His soul urgently need a refill and a rebuild. Now we are going to look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2 to revisit God's initial creation of our life. There is a pattern in Genesis 1 and 2 that is the filling pattern, the filling. First of all, God creates light. There is a light. The light fills everything in heaven and on earth. Then God filled the land with plants, veggies, animals, insects on the land. God filled the land with veggies, plants, animals. Then God filled the skies above with stars and with birds. Then God filled the ocean's waters with fish and alike. Then God filled all the animals' bellies with grass. With grass, meaning they eat grass. There were no carnivores, no meat eaters in the beginning, in the creation. They all eat grass, pure grass, green grass, God-given grass. But then, at the end of chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." How did God create man in his image and likeness? The answer is in chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, God created a man, one man called Adam, out of earthly elements, the dust from the ground. But Adam was still a dead man. He was lying there without any life, breath, until Elohim, the God of Creator, God Elohim, he breathed the divine breath into his life. So Adam became a living being. His life filled with divine breath. You can see from the beginning of human life is totally different from all other animals, because his life is first filled with divine breath, divine spirit. His life is responsible to the divine God. Then God gave him second need, which is food for his earthly body. God gave permission to eat all the fruits of the trees, not grass on the ground, but the fruits of the trees, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? You can eat all the fruits, fill your life, hearts, with all the fruits of the trees, except one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because God wanted Adam, the man, to be filled by his word, by his command. God wanted the man and the woman be filled with his spirit, obedient, responsible to him only. The food, the fruits, are the second need of human life. What is a sin? Sin is desiring anything else rather than God. Sin is desiring anything else but God. David desired and filled by God for a long time until he became the king. But then his desire changed. One day he saw a very, very beautiful woman called Bathsheba. Bathsheba was a very beautiful woman. And David's heart, David's soul, was filled by her beauty at all times. David began to desire her instead of God. That's the turning point of David's life. That is the beginning journey of his wilderness. His wilderness journey is not started from a wilderness, but from his heart to Bathsheba. When David realized his heart problem, he was so sorrowful, regretful. His heart was broken. he composed Psalm 51. In that psalm, he prayed to God to create a new heart for him, a new heart, new spirit for him. How to desire God? The answer is our heart has to be filled and refilled with God, God's Spirit, God's Word, God's presence, God's will. If our hearts do not filled with God's Word, and our hearts will be filled by other things or other people like Bathsheba, or by other gods, idols. Nowadays, our souls are bombarded by all kinds of idols and countless beauties, so-called stars. We all have our own stars. One of my stars was Michael Jordan, and he was no longer my star anymore. Our minds are preoccupied by sex, money, and power. Our eyes are trapped with entertainment and the media at all times. We were trapped in the wilderness just as David was before. So today, when I talk about desiring God, I'm not talking about casual desire on top of our normal life, our faith to desire God. I'm talking about a revolutionary, total refill, total rebuild, tear down the old, starting anew. I'm talking about a complete refilling of divine life in our broken and dirty, filthy life, heart. We need to cry as David did, "Oh God, create a new heart for me, in me. Create a new heart, a pure heart in me." An elder I know told me that a few years ago he started fasting on Saturday. The whole day he put away cell phones, everything. Just read the Bible, 30 chapters for a few years. He said his life was totally changed, has been renewed tremendously. And he's still going every Saturday, 30 chapters, no cell phones, no emails, no other things, no labors. I'm not sure about the cooking. He cooks a lot. I challenge you, including myself, starting, I call mobile device fasting, including TV, computers, cell phones, mobile device fasting on Sundays. Every Sunday from morning, put away cell phones and computers. Go to the church, worship God, go home, be quiet, rest, read the Bible, listen to some worship music, meditate, maybe spend some time with our family members. I want everyone to practice mobile fasting, mobile device fasting on Sundays. This is very, very important to our new heart, to refill with God's life and the Word. Last Sunday, after worship service, I went to look for a new person, a young person. I passed through Sunday classrooms. You know what I saw? I saw quite a few young people in the room. And most of them were playing with their cell phones, smartphones. I don't know what are they watching. They're not talking to each other. Very, very few were talking to each other. We may have a glimmer of glory during the worship in the Sunday morning. But then, once we go home, we start poking around, looking at the cell phones, smarties, and our heart, our soul turned cold to God. And we turn our eyes to the entertainment, to the things we like. We need to practice mobile device fasting. Turn our eyes away from the world, from attractions of stars and idols, and turn our eyes and heart and soul to God only. I believe this is the only way, and David's way, to refill God's power, to refill divine life, to refill God's word in our soul, in our hearts, in our minds, in our life. This is how to desire God, to refill our hearts, our soul with God's word, with God's life. Now we look at the third point. Finally, what is the result of our desiring for God? The third point, what is the result of desiring for God? As I indicated before, there is a soul pattern in Psalm 63. The soul pattern is continued throughout the whole 63 and is like this. The soul's current wilderness situation, the soul past experience, and the soul future hope. Current situation, past experience, future hope. That's the three patterns from Psalm 63 throughout. I'm going to walk through quickly with you. Verse 1, current wilderness situation. He prays, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Verse 2, past experience. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Notice, this is a past tense, in the past. Verse 3 to 5, future hope. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. This current, past, future pattern also exhibits in verse 6 through 11. Verse 6 is the current wilderness situation. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. When David was in the wilderness, I don't know about his bed, he looked at skies, stars, and the powerful universe. He remembering God. He said, on my bed, I remember you. Verse 7 is past experience. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. The original tense is past. Because you have been my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. I will in the future. The future starts right away as soon as he remembered God's help in the past. From verse 8 to verse 11 is all about the future. It's all about the future. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Verse 9 through 11 is a bigger future, bigger picture to the entire Israel, entire nation of Israel, and God's people. He's looking to the final judgment of God. Notice the future tense of these verses. Will. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Notice verse 9 through 11 is all about the future. Will. The will. The fate of evil ones, the fate of faithful ones. The victory pattern shows that although David's body still in the wilderness, but his soul, his spirit, has new hope for the future. Was already delivered by God out of wilderness, his soul was so filled with God's love that he's confident that the future is victory. Not only for himself, but also for the nation of Israel. So how did David's soul find future from current wilderness situation all of a sudden to the glorious future? Notice David said, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, and now fled into the wilderness without any opportunity to worship in the sanctuary, even without the power and glory. David all of a sudden realized God's love, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. What happened? Why there is a sudden change from power to love? Why? What is the change? I think when David came to temple, came to God's house to worship in the past as the king, he has all the kingly power and glory, authority. He knew that. So when he came to God's presence, naturally he's looking for power and glory. Then, once he drifted into the wilderness, he lost the power, he lost the kingly glory. What left? Nothing. His life is hanging on a thread. He's in danger. At that moment, all of a sudden he realized God's love is the only thing left. God's love is the only thing he can grab. So wasn't God's love there before with his power and glory? Yes, I think so. But why didn't David realize before? I think because he's so concentrated on his power, his glory, and he just totally missed God's power in the past. Or shall we say, once he was in the wilderness situation, he was really humbled by God. In Psalm 5, David claimed that, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. through the abundance of your steadfast love will I enter your house. In other words, David realized even the ability to seek God, to desire God, to seek His power and glory was dependent on God's love. That's how powerful, how great God's love is. This was the beginning and the secret of David's soul revival. God's love. God's love is given to the humble and the weary ones. If we are humble to seek God, we will receive His love. If we are prideful to seek His power and glory, we will, like David, miss His love. Last week, when I was in morning devotion, I read Judges chapter 6, Gideon's story. Gideon was a nobody, a small person in his whole family. But when God's messenger called him, he called him a mighty warrior. The messenger gave him a mission to rescue the nation of Israel. You know what he said? He said, "My clan is the smallest one. Manasseh is the smallest one in the whole tribes. And I'm the smallest one, poorest one in my family. My clan is the poorest one. I'm the smallest one in my family." He had such low esteem for himself. And he was also doubtful. And he said, "If you are truly from God, wait here for me. Let me go home, prepare some sacrifice, come back to you." And the angel of the Lord said, "I will wait here for you. Go ahead. I will wait here." I don't know how long the angel of the Lord waited for Gideon. Imagine, he was in the field and he has to go from the field back to home, preparing for the sacrifice, the special sacrifice, killing a bull, all of that. Then take all the sacrifice, go back to the field, wheat field. When he went back, the angel of the Lord was still there. Gideon presented the sacrifice on a big rock. The angel of the Lord took a rod from his hand, touched the rock. At that moment, a fire broke out, burned everything on the rock. And Gideon shouted, "Woe on me! I'm that person because I have seen the angel of the Lord face by face." Even he's shouting, "I'm dead," he's still there. He didn't die. And then the angel of the Lord said, Do not be afraid. You will not die. Do not be afraid. You will not die. When I heard that, tears came down from my eyes. I saw God's love in Gideon's life. And also in my life, I'm also like Gideon, fearful, doubtful, low self-esteem. I saw God's love. And God called him a mighty warrior, while he has such low self-esteem. And when he has doubt, the angel of the Lord said, "I will wait for you." He was very, very patient with his doubting. And when he was fearful, he said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Where is God's love? God's love is so richly hidden, expressed in the Gideon's story. Do you see that? Do you see that? We all had different experience with God in the past. Some, like David, powerful and glorious. Some, like Gideon, doubtful and fearful. Some, like Peter, denying faith, denying our God. 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. I'm like Peter. I have denied Christ many times in different ways, and I knew that. No matter what past experience were, we all have come to the wilderness situation like David, and we have to encounter God's love. Soon or later, we have to say, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Dear brothers, sisters, dear friends, I don't know where you are. We don't know what is your wilderness situation. No matter what, we all have to come to one point, same place, same point, to know, to be satisfied by God's love. That is the turning point of our life. That is the turning point of our wilderness. So let me ask you, do you know, are you in the wilderness right now? Do you know where is to seek God's love? Do you know God's love is the turning point of our situation? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for who you are and what you do. You are such mighty, mighty God. You are also covenant maker, covenant of God. By your grace, by your love, you have created our lives. By your love, you have filled our lives with your goodness and your purpose, mission, and meaning. And today, we look at David's story, reminded our life is the same. Helplessness, but also hopeful. We thank you for making the covenant with your Son, Jesus Christ, to give us a new heart, new life, give us a new mission, give us new hope. When we look at David's life, when we look at our life, we can equally claim your love is better than life. Our lips will glorify you. Oh God, you are my God. I pray that through this message, many souls will be revived. Our hearts will be revived. Fill our hearts with your divine life, divine words. Take away the sin of our hearts. Take away the attraction of the world. I pray that all the church, all God's people, will have a new desire for you, for Christ. We know where to find your love, where to be satisfied with your love. And I pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. May God bless you.